Well, folks, it finally happened. Jalen Ramsey finally gets traded. But that's not all. Blockbuster news. Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Let's throw Jonnu Smith in there while we're at it. Jonnu Smith now pairing up with Pat Freiermuth as the two tight ends in Pittsburgh. Holy moly. Offseason just got off to a great start. This week just got off to a great start. Woo, baby. Top five quarterbacks and a preview of the NFC West coming up next as well. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich, and you heard that right. Jalen Ramsey finally traded away from Miami in a blockbuster deal. So there ended up being two separate trades that happened today. We're recording this on Monday, June 30th. So once you listen to this on Tuesday, July 1st, by the way, happy July. That's when you'll actually be able to listen to this, but recording on Monday right now. And originally it was Jalen Ramsey to Pittsburgh for Minkah Fitzpatrick with a fifth round pick tag to it as well that Pittsburgh would be getting, correct?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's getting the fifth. That is, you hit that nail right on the head, man.
Yep. And then Jonnu Smith separately was traded to Pittsburgh for a seventh round pick.
Yes.
So right off the bat, just looking, let's look at these two teams separately, right? So we'll start with the Steelers. I don't know how much this makes them better. Like, it makes them maybe slightly better, more so on the offensive side, I guess. But CJ, you alluded to this earlier prior to the show. Seeing who their offensive coordinator is, it kind of more or less seems that, or is going to sound like one more offensive player is going to be shellacked by Arthur Smith, and that is Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, that's right. And I literally put this in our group chat. I literally said, and now I'm going to say to the people listening, Pat Freiermuth, prepare to speak tight end two, because for some reason, that is unknown to both man and God alike, Arthur Smith has this weird, borderline creepy infatuation with Jonnu Smith. Could it be because they share the same last name? I don't know. We got to remember when he was head coach in Atlanta, like Jonnu would literally, he was TE1 everywhere with the depth chart. I mean, the depth chart always said it was Kyle Pitts, but he always put Jonnu Smith out there, and it got so weird. So if you have Pat Freiermuth in any Dynasty Fantasy League, I'm so sorry. But for like 99.9% of the country, I would say fantasy drafts have not started yet. Unless you're that one league that does it weirdly early, in which case, shame on you. But yeah, I don't understand that whole part of it. But Jonnu's, yeah, that's small potatoes now. Let's get to the real meat of it. You know what I mean?
Yes. So looking at the defense right now for Pittsburgh, so at least the secondary. So you traded for Jalen Ramsey. You now pair him up with Darius Slay. Since he got rid of Minkah Fitzpatrick, now it's Deshaun Elliott and Juan Thornhill in your secondary as your safeties, along with Joey Porter Jr. Shout out Joey Porter, legend, Pittsburgh. But also, oddly enough, was also a Miami Dolphin at one point.
We've come full circle. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But looking at the Dolphins now, or speaking of the Steelers real quick, since we're on them, TJ Watt will not be getting traded by Pittsburgh anytime soon, per sources. And they're going to keep focusing on trying to extend his contract. Looking at the Dolphins now, you bring back Minkah Fitzpatrick. Solid. Some would even say a possible upgrade, because now you brought some youth back into your secondary with this player swap, and sure, you traded away a aging veteran in Jalen Ramsey, who's not, age hasn't caught up to him just yet, but he is getting up there. Whereas Micah Fitzpatrick, a younger safety who we all believe is probably the best safety in the league, right? So you'd have to say that in terms of the defense, you got yourself a little bit of an upgrade, but offensively, kind of a loss trading away your tight end, who is one of your bigger performers last year.
Yeah, pretty much. And I guess I just don't understand. Look, I'm sorry. I don't care what the stat sheet says. I don't really view Jalen Ramsey as a top five quarterback anymore. And yeah, you could throw the injury excuse at me too. Yeah, I don't know.
Adam asked us a question about how he's just on the Dolphins. Yes.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Dolphins
to the Steelers, I'm pretty sure, in a trade scenario. Mm-hmm. And now he's being sent back to Miami. And I'm going to back check myself on the trade scenario part.
Yeah, no, he was, I think it was his second year after being drafted in the first round out of Alabama by Miami, he was traded to Pittsburgh. I can't necessarily speak to what they got for him off the top of my head, but the more you know.
2018, 2019, he was in Miami, and then after that, he was traded to the Steelers. Yeah.
Nice.
But of course, you know, social media being social media, a lot of people reacting to the news. It's big news, right? Yeah. Raheem Mostert took to X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and he said, hot take. Be a Pro Bowler on the Dolphins. Get treated like shit. Happy for my guys, though. Go ball out. Interesting. Interesting stuff there.
Interesting is certainly a word.
I would say even more interestingly, because, you know, we're a couple months out of the player report cards, right? Almost half a year at this point. I forget when those player report cards came out, but we're pretty much away from that at this point. Miami Dolphins are usually at the top in terms of player report cards. They usually have A's lined up and down those things, especially this year.
Yeah, well, you got to realize something. This is something that I think I may have said last year about the Miami Dolphins always getting an A, is that I'm trying to think of how to put this. A lot of it seems to be the Miami Dolphins are a team that I feel like tries to vibe their way to success, because that's what Miami is. I mean, these players aren't going to complain because, you know, they're in Miami, you know, it's the sun and the beach and, you know, like you got everything you want right there, low taxes. So they can stomach playing for a team that's not that great. And, you know, when they're asked to like rate their coach, McDaniel gets high ratings because he's not really, I mean, he's more of a friend rather than someone they respect. And literally, like we heard last year, how, you know, what's going on in Indy with players always showing up late and how no one respects their coach. It's the same thing down in Miami, but, you know, but, oh, Mike McDaniel, he's known for his zingers. Remember the iconic, and for those of you listening, I did air quotes, I wish it were colder shirt, you know, when he's chirping Bills fans and he lost. Remember that? Remember the I wish it were colder game he lost? That's just realized.
I thought that was the Kansas City game.
No, it was in Buffalo. Either way, where it is, he lost. Like, that's the thing. But it's like, oh, look at Mike McDaniel. He vapes. He's funny. Like that's the thing. Like, that's why they don't. Like, the locker room doesn't respect him. The thing is, he's a stats guy. He's a coordinator. He's just not – to lead a football team, you have to be a dog. He has no grit. He's not tough. He's not a dog. He's not an alpha. He can't lead. And players kind of like that because then, you know, no one gets held accountable. Because let me tell you something. If accountability was a thing in Miami, would they really have the wife and child beater Tyreek Hill still on the team? Probably not.
Facts. Big facts. One last time on the fact check. Micah Fitzpatrick was traded to Pittsburgh right before week one of the 2019 season. That's the last fact check for today, or at least in this segment. But yeah. Anything else you gotta say about this?
Yeah, no, not really.
I think we covered it. Good job.
Yes.
Gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna get into our NFC West preview for the 2025 season. Can the 49ers pick up the slack from last year, or can the Rams repeat as division champs? You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ. I'm Chris. Technically, we're both Chris. But
yeah.
good pull there, huh? But let's get into the NFC West. Your division winner was the LA Rams, making it to the divisional round of the playoffs after beating the Minnesota Vikings in the wild card round. Who they lose in the playoffs again? It was the Eagles. Duh.
Yeah.
Seahawks coming in 2nd, 10-7 record as well, but missing out on the playoffs in week 18. Cardinals 8-9, finishing 3rd. Very, very up and down year. And the 49ers just couldn't figure it out, especially with all the injuries that they had to deal with all season long. And that's where we'll start, is San Francisco 49ers, finishing in last place. Just extended Brock Purdy, just extended George Kittle, and he just extended Fred Warner. But you also lost Deebo Samuel and a handful of names from the defense in general. So this is going to be kind of interesting. Brandon Ayuk, you got him back after he was out for the entirety of last, or almost the entirety of last season. Christian McCaffrey should be good to go. Shouldn't be dealing with the Achilles bullshit or whatever the hell was going on last year. So he's going to be back. And excuse me. Other than that, I think the biggest question is really going to be how this defense holds up, because that was where the biggest losses came from.
Yeah. Yeah. The Niners, if you have a friend who's a Niners fan that you are absolutely done with, fear not, my friends. I have a solution. You got to say, hey, that Brock Purdy contract was really stupid. And then they'll be like, well, actually, that's what they'll hit you with. Right? Here's what they're going to say. Actually, everybody was hurt, so it's not on him. That's why his stats were bad, everyone was hurt. But then you can turn around and say, okay, so you just admitted that he needs an all-star cast around him to keep him as possibly a top 10 quarterback. And then you get to sit back and watch the brain short circuit and point and laugh. Yeah, because that's what it was for me. Sure, you know, he had a down year because everyone was hurt. But at the same time, as much as I've kind of been a Purdy apologist, that does more or less prove that he needs that all-star cast. Because now you got Ayuk. Will he come back well from injury? Nobody knows. That's really not fun. And then there's Kittle. I expect Kittle to be fine. I expect McCaffrey to be fine. But the real problem is the defense. Dre Greenlaw, Tauno Hufanga, you know, like all among others, Leonard Floyd, also, I believe, gone. Like, their defense got picked clean in free agency. If you are the Niners defensive coordinator, you are now hoping that, like, draft picks, even like late rounders, pan out. Like, that's the only way it gets better. And honestly, with that huge Brock Purdy contract extension, especially that's going to kick in next year, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. It's really all I got is just they kind of back themselves into a corner here.
I will say, I'm looking at the cap breakdown, or the breakdown of his contract. So you mentioned that it's not kicking in until next year. And really, the meat of the contract doesn't really set in until 2028. So you could still make some sort of ground in the next 2 years before, like, I'm just talking base salary right now, right?
Yeah.
So he's making 1.1 mil this year. He's going to be making 8.3 next year. Then it hikes up 11.3 in 27. And then it hikes up even more in 2028 at 34.1. And then he's making 49 the last 2 years of his contract.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that, Chris. I mean, there's really no debating there.
That's obviously without looking at like the other contracts.
So, yeah, but you got to remember, Chris, here's my question. Isn't there another big name that's going to need an extension soon? A dude with the name of, I don't know, Fred Warner?
Fred Warner already got his extension.
Oh, he did.
Are you thinking of Nicosia, or did he already get his extension?
No, I know
all these extensions. I can't. There's too many. There's too fucking many.
No, I hear you, man. But no. There is. I don't remember who, but I know there's like some other big name that like needs an extension, or unless you're trying. Oh yeah, Warner. He got that 3-year extension through 2029. Maybe I was thinking about him. But yeah, it was finalized back in May, I believe.
Yeah,
but regardless, no. Just that's also going to hurt you, and that extension also kicks in next year. So even though the meat of Purdy's contract doesn't kick in until 2 years from now, the meat of Warner's extension is going to kick in next year. And once again, the Niners are quickly backed into a corner. And then, of course, there is Nick Bosa, where it's a 5-year, $170 million deal. And that was 2 years ago. And now you're still paying for it.
Yeah, so that's kicked in, right? Well, right now their highest paid guy is Trent Williams, and he's 37. So he's going to probably retire at some point within the next couple of years, if not.
I would imagine so.
So that you're going to get a bit of a break with that.
I mean, unless he retires while he's still under contract and they still have to pay him that massive amount of guaranteed money.
Yeah, obviously. But they do have a potential out, though, after this season in terms of Trent Williams. So if he were to opt out for 2026, then there would be $34 million worth of dead cap.
Oh. I mean, well, thank God we are not Niners fans, because I can't lie to you folks, the future for them is looking bleak.
Yeah. All right. Prediction for them this year. Definitely better than 6-11, unless they get riddled with injuries again.
I could see them going, like, honestly, 7-10, really, or maybe like 9-8 ceiling. I mean, just there, I don't know. Even if their offense gets healthy, their defense, which was literally their strong suit, is now going to be their weakness.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Unless like Fred Warner and Nick Bosa just round the fellas together and put up a solid season, the defense is going to be a pretty big factor. And if this team struggles, the offense should be very fun to watch, though. I'm very excited to see a full season out of Ricky Pearsall, but
hopefully.
Yeah. Moving on to the team that finished in third in the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals. They finished 8-9 last season, and this was such a frustrating team to watch in its entirety, because like just so inconsistent. Just a team that was so inconsistent week in and week out. Like this felt like a team that should have made bigger strides than it did. And now it's like, I don't even know what to think of the Cardinals for this year, because I feel like that I had an idea of what it was going to be last year, and it wasn't even close to that. So CJ, what do you have in your mind about this team?
I don't know anymore, man. They're, like you said, they're just such an enigma. I think a lot of it comes down to Kyler Murray.
he's been flirting with taking that next step for a while, but I'm going to need to see him probably eclipse 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. Like, he's got to take control. And a lot of it, too, is I want to see more out of Marvin Harrison Jr. And don't get me wrong, his rookie year was so eerily similar to his dad's, but a lot of it is Murray and Harrison. Like, you don't want to hear me say this if you're a Cardinals fan, but flat out, they don't have chemistry. They just don't. It has become abundantly clear that I don't know if Murray doesn't trust him, if Murray doesn't like him or whatever, but the chemistry that you need between QB1 and wide receiver one, it's just not there. And Murray is more comfortable going to Trey McBride, or hell, he threw the ball to Greg Dortch a lot, if that tells you anything. And oh my, and which is frustrating because there are times where Harrison had his man beat deep. I mean, he would get wide open and Murray just wouldn't see him. And maybe that's a Murray thing because, look, it's unfortunate. I mean, it sounds like slander, but it's true. Shorter quarterbacks struggle to see over the line. They might miss guys that are wide open down the field. And when he has a guy wide open, like, you got to hit him. I mean, there was one play. I don't remember, like, what team it was against, but I remember Marvin Harrison Jr., I think it might have been the Rams, got wide open, had his guy beat by, like, a solid 10 yards, and Murray took a check down.
I know which play you're talking about.
Yeah, and the announcers were, like, stunned. And the defense, look, the defense of Arizona, it's no longer, like, I mean, it's not really that good. I mean, I think they've taken some steps to improve it. You know, they got Will Johnson from Michigan, who I think could be an impact starter at the gate. But honestly,
Mac Wilson, your weak side, Josh Sweat on the D-line, mm-hmm. Buda Baker, yeah. Still your safety.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that they got Josh Sweat. So they've made some improvements, but now they have to put it together. Because the Arizona Cardinals have never really been bad lately. They've just been okay. They are always seen as, you know, the scrappy underdog, right? They get called cutesy names for underperforming teams. They're like scrappy, plucky, among other things. Well, no, I don't want you to be a plucky team. I don't want you to be a scrappy underdog. I want you to be good. So yeah. My record prediction for them, honestly, probably same as the Niners, like 4-8 wins. I mean, I'm not saying that's like the Niners floor, but probably going to end up around the same 4-8 wins, ceiling 10.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. I'm probably going to think the same thing here. Like, unless they can figure out a way to go from like blowing out New England and then losing Carolina in overtime, like the very next week, like stuff like that. If they're able to like get out of that whole situation, then I think they'll be. I'm looking at like just their schedule from last year. And there was so many games where it was like, oh, that's a great win. Oh, there's a 4-game. Oh, now there's a 3-game losing streak that shouldn't be here, but it's there for some reason. Or like they had a really good game against Buffalo week 1. Then they followed it up with a blowout win against the Rams week 2. And then they fell flat the 2 weeks after that. So it's like, I don't know if I can trust them. It's kind of like you said, like they look like a team that should be making that extra step, but they just haven't been able to. I don't know. And I don't think that they'll be able to do that this year. Maybe they do, but in other ways that still doesn't change the record. I don't know, but I'm going to stick with you on this one. They're going to hang around 500 this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Second place team from last season, the Seattle Seahawks, finishing 10-7. And in second place, as mentioned, came down to week 18. They lost and they're out. Then they were out kind of in the, or pardon, they won, but because it was the Rams and they already had it figured out. So in terms of the Seahawks, I kind of saw them in the same vein as the Cardinals last season. Now, yeah, they had 9+ wins in 3 straight seasons now, but last year, I mean, the NFC in general last year was just absolute shit show in terms of like so many teams were going to qualify for the playoffs or could qualify for the playoffs. Like the Seahawks were one of those teams that were at 10 wins in the NFC, but they couldn't, but there's just so many other better teams. With that being said, they were, I felt like they, you could throw them in the same vein as Arizona, where it's like they had some good wins, but then they ended up following up with like a terrible loss, right? So they started out the season 3-1, and all of a sudden they lose 29-20 against the Giants at home. Shit like that. Just stuff that shouldn't be happening. And now granted, like they kind of suffered in the running department a little bit with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet being hurt for like, it just like you didn't have Charbonnet or Walker for like at the same time for the majority of the season, which I love both running backs, but it seems that the only, and the running game should be their strongest part of their offense. But it's hard to do that when you're relying solely on one guy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Especially in the offense they've set up to be like the whole running back committee type of thing.
But yeah, dude, Seattle, man, they're a team that, you know, 9 or more wins in 3 straight seasons. They've never been world beaters as of late, but they're not terrible. They're just another team that's just firmly suspended in mediocrity. Like, I don't know, like, what it's going to take. I mean, I'm willing to give their head coach, Mike McDonald, the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because I think he's good, but, you know, first year is always that learning curve. But overall, I don't know, man. Like, do you really think Sam Darnold, who you gave that massive deal to, you, like, you really think he's going to move the needle after like one season and like one good season in Minnesota, where, like, don't get me wrong, he's good, but, you know, you're going from Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison to now Jackson Smith and Jigbo, who is like one good year under his belt, and aging Cooper Kupp. You're also going from T.J. Hockenson to Noah Fant as well. And then a solid offensive line to an offensive line that looks better. Maybe it has some upside, but that's pretty much it. And don't get me wrong, the defense is going to be fine. That defensive backfield is scary. It's just the pass rush might need a tiny bit of work.
They also added DeMarcus Lawrence as well to their linebacking core.
Well, one, he's more of an edge rusher. And two, he's more of a run defensive lineman, like run oriented, than an actual like sack threat. He's not a pass rusher. He's more of a run stuffing type guy. But Darnold, he gives him a shot. But oh man, if he regresses in Seattle, that's going to be a really bad look.
Yeah, I think this is really going to.
It's all very, like, Darnold dependent. That's the thing.
Very Darnold dependent. For this season, I really would love to see a JSN breakout season, especially with the DK trade. At least it seemed like that prior to Cooper Kupp being added to the squad. But I don't know. I see the Seahawks. Where do you see the Seahawks? How about that?
Would it be a cop out if I just said probably the same as the Niners and Cardinals? Because obviously, you know, one's going to have to finish first, one's going to finish second, one's going to have to finish third or first or whatever. But they just don't have it. You know, yeah. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold. I don't know if you can win a playoff game with Sam Darnold. I mean, he looked good last season, but you got to remember those final two games, he just completely imploded. Like, it all came crashing down, and now he doesn't have that support system, that coaching in Seattle. Like, he's going to have to show we can do it, and if he can't, I don't know.
Probably we've seen that you can, that Sam Darnold can take you to the playoffs, but yeah, like you said, it's probably just the situation itself. Now you're going to a different situation. How is he going to perform in that? But yeah, I'd have to probably agree with you that it's probably going to end up being like the 49ers and the Cardinals for the Seahawks this year. I could see them being in third place and this 49ers taking back second place. But
yeah,
I feel like in terms of the NFC West, it's really going to just be a race for second place. And I'm assuming you got the Rams winning the division.
Yeah,
again.
I do. Spoiler alert, I have the Rams winning the division. The other three are just going to be duking it out for second.
Yeah. Looking at the Rams now. So you lose Cooper Kupp. Okay. It's not great. What are you going to do, though? Well, let's go get Devontae Adams. Let's get him on our roster to pair up with Puka Nacua. Predicting it right now, Devontae Adams' career is going to be revitalized this year. I can only imagine the season and the numbers he's going to put up with Stafford as his quarterback and Sean McVay as the head coach. I can see you smiling right now, CJ. I know that you're getting excited just thinking about it.
Interesting way to put it, but yeah. Honestly, what's there to say about the Rams has been said. Sure, no Cooper Kupp, but arguably an upgrade with Devontae Adams, a healthy Puka Nacua, and the eternally underrated running back whose name escapes me. That's probably why he's underrated.
Oh, Kyren Williams.
Yeah, Kyren Williams, man. And a defense now with a year under their belt, guys like Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. Man, sign me up. I mean, like, they should win. Barring some sort of, like, catastrophic injury bug, there's no reason they shouldn't win the division. Honestly, I won't call it a cakewalk because it's not. It seems like one of those teams, like, they're filled with teams where anyone can win on any given Sunday, but they can also lose just as easily. But the Rams, they definitely stand above.
Yeah,
they do. And a lot of it just has to come down with coaching. McDonald is unproven, right? The Cardinals head coach, I'm not sold on with Gannon. And I don't care that he's been at two Super Bowls. I'm not sold on Shanahan. He's not. He's a certified choker. But McVay, like I said, just in coaching alone, they're going to have a staggering advantage. Then you pair that offense with a young defense that's only going to improve. There's no reason they won't win. I feel they could get, probably if they play their cards right, 12 to 14 wins on the high side.
Yeah. The defense was a bit of a problem last year, but now you're in year two of Jared Verseland, which fantastic rookie season, showed out in the playoffs. Now you're getting to see his second season. Excited to see if he can really turn up an extra notch for this year and really improve on an insane rookie season. Defensive rookie of the year, right? Yeah. So I'd have to agree with you. I could see them going maybe not 14 wins. I think that might be a little high. I think with the Rams, you definitely have to consider potential injuries, especially with that happening last year, especially with Puka and Devontae Adams. Puka only had the one injury from last year and missed like a month or something like that. Devontae Adams is a little bit here and there with the injury bug. So hopefully, I think if they can get a full season with everybody, and that's hard to say because no one can really ever do that, I can also see it being 12 wins.
Yeah. I definitely think
maybe 13.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see that stat there about the Rams having have a winning record in their last 7 of 8 seasons. And let's face it, the only reason why they didn't have that record after they lost the Super Bowl is just because everyone won the Super Bowl strictly because everyone got hurt.
Yeah.
That's more of an injury asterisk than anything.
Exactly. All right. A good preview of the NFC West heading into the 2025 season. We're going to take a quick break, come back. CJ and I are going to give our top 5 quarterbacks heading into the 2025 season.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, Power 88 Dean Radio, and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ. I'm Chris. Top five quarterbacks heading into the 2025 season. I feel like we should put a disclaimer first before we get into this, that we have the same five quarterbacks for the top five. It's pretty... Should we just reveal who our top five, like who the five quarterbacks are and then rank them, or should we just go? CJ, top five, go.
All right. Well, my number five is Jalen Hurts. And honestly, even though I'm not an Eagles fan, in fact, I'm very much not an Eagles fan, like at all, but the Jalen Hurts slander is to stop. The people will say, Irm didn't crack 3K yards, only 18 passing touchdowns. And yeah, that in a vacuum's terrible. However, he's one of the best scramblers in the league. Give him an additional 630 yards on the ground and an extra 14 rushing touchdowns. So this dude is over 30 total touchdowns. He could do it in the air. He could do it on the ground. This guy, he just gets it done. And also, when the lights were brightest, he made it happen. He transformed to that pocket passer everyone wants him to be. And you see that? That's how it's done. That's Jalen Hurts. What do you want? He's definitely, now that he's got a ring, he's definitely top five. I'm sorry. Moving on to my number four. Oh, man. Josh Allen. I don't care that he's reigning MVP. 3,731 yards. 28 touchdowns, 6 picks. I mean, it's good that he's good at not turning the ball over. But seriously, like, I don't know if I've seen an MVP get those bad numbers since, ironically, Lamar Jackson the year before. But, man. And I know that he's also a scrambler, but 531 yards, 12 touchdowns. He got the MVP, so I respect it. And I did put him above Hurts just because he's able to get more yards. He's more arguably dynamic. But once again, by the way, about Josh Allen, he keeps falling short in the playoffs because every time he beats Mahomes the regular season, Mahomes always takes his lunch in the postseason. That's just how it is. And I might give him the benefit of, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though, because I do not think Sean McDermott is a very good coach. And I think he's holding Allen back. But I'm so unimpressed with Josh Allen. I really am. But I have to respect the talent level. He did get MVP, and he is really good. I want more, if that makes sense. So moving on to number three, and this is where the great unwashed masses are going to disagree. Patrick Mahomes. You will not like this, but I don't care. He is not the best quarterback in the league. I guess it depends on what it means to you. The Chiefs went 15-2 last year, but how much of that was really Mahomes? Last year, plain and simple, he was a game manager. His stats have been declined. I mean, ever since he had that really great 2022 season where he won MVP, his stats have been declining ever since. As the Chiefs move away from being a Mahomes-led team to being a defense-first team, right? Had 3,928 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 11 picks. I'm sorry, those stats are not the stats of the best quarterback in the league. Everyone's like, oh, but the wins are what matters. And by the way, everybody's saying Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league because the Chiefs had a 15-win season. I'd like to point out are also the same people that will go, wins aren't a QB stat. So I'm sorry, Mahomes lovers. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And by the way, everyone loves to talk about, and I quote, the Mahomes magic, where it's like, oh, you never want him to get the ball in his hands on the last play of the drive. Ironically, when all the pressure's on him and he had to make the play, I never thought I'd say this about Mahomes, but he folded. He folded in the Super Bowl. he can't play from behind. Like, I don't know if it's an Andy Reid thing. I don't know if he had a down year, but two straight years of statistical decline, I can't put him there. But it is Mahomes. I recognize the win, so he's at three. My number two is the guy who should have won MVP last season, Lamar Jackson. Man, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he got shafted. But well, we know what we're getting now. Two MVPs. And by the way, this man is an elite pocket passer now. Got over 4,000 yards, 41 touchdowns, four picks, and he got it done on the ground as well with 915 yards and four rushing touchdowns to boot. He should have won MVP last year. He outclassed Josh Allen in every stat. Josh Allen kind of got the pity MVP because if Mahomes always takes Allen's lunch in the playoffs, then Lamar takes Allen's lunch at NFL honors. So, yeah, Lamar, however, the only reason
Josh Allen also takes Lamar's lunch in the playoffs too.
Yeah, I guess, but still. But Lamar usually beats him like for MVPs, and he should have last year too.
Yeah.
But the only reason he didn't get it last year is just because of voter fatigue, and you can't change my mind on that. But the reason Lamar's not one is because he's another quarterback where I just want more out of him. I don't care how many MVPs he has. Where's the playoff success? And I'm not afraid to say this. You know how I always give the Bills head coach Sean McDermott a lot of grief? We need to start doing that to John Harbaugh. I'm sorry. And don't give me the whole but he has a ring. Okay, so the ring is appearing to be the exception and not the rule. He has one ring that I think he got when I was like, I don't know, in fifth grade or something like that. He hasn't been back to the Super Bowl. He's a one-and-done guy. And I feel like Lamar could do better. And my number one, you all will not like this. However, I don't care what you think. If you're not controversial in life, that means you didn't stand for anything. It's Joe Burrow. It's got to be Joe Burrow. He's my number one. 70% completion percentage, 4,918 yards, 43 touchdowns, only nine picks. He led the league in completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. And you want to know the truth? He didn't go to the playoffs last year because his defense decided not to show up, and it won't. Again, I would imagine, but he's still going to stuff the stat sheet. He's got all his guys on offense. You know, Chase Brown looks good. He got Chase. He got Higgins. Statistically speaking, he is the best quarterback in the league. However, not only does his defense not support him, he's got an absolute bungler of a head coach, old Zach Taylor, or whatever that NPC's name is. And it sucks. I mean, the fact that he got that horrible Bengals defense and offensive line, which they still haven't given him, to 9-8 is nothing short of a miracle. And it really does suck. But here's the thing. I don't care if they're wild card, even if he doesn't win the division. If the Bengals just squeak into the playoffs, Joe Burrow's MVP. In fact, statistically speaking, he should have been MVP. But I digress. Joe Burrow is number one. And if you don't like it, in the words of the immortal Chris Kostich, argue with your mother.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, so I got the same five, right? My five is also Jalen Hurts. It's hard not to put the Super Bowl MVP as number five. And you said it best, CJ, is that when the lights shine brightest, he showed up. Like, in the Super Bowl, Saquon was shut down. He averaged, like, what, 3 yards a carry, 3.5 maybe. Yep. It was one of the less efficient days for Saquon that he's had in his career. And who shows up? It's Jalen Hurts. Super Bowl MVP was well-deserved, and he's just the perfect he's probably the perfect quarterback for the Eagles as well, along with everything else that you said about him, CJ. Number four for me, Patrick Mahomes. I don't have him at three. I got him at four. And it's all about what he's just been doing with this, like, as the quarterback with guys that just a receiver room that has regressed since his rookie season. Not saying that the talent on the team isn't good. It's still solid. Like, still got Rashee Rice. Still got Hollywood Brown. See what Xavier Worthy can do. But, like, other than that, he hasn't done a whole lot. Especially, like, yeah, he's bringing his team to the Super Bowl. But as CJ said, it's more in a game manager sense. Like, he's still making the right plays. But the statistics aren't there. They just aren't there. But it's, you still can't have him not in the top five because it's Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is inevitable. Number three, Lamar Jackson. It's hard not to have Lamar as a top three quarterback in the league. It's really hard not to. He is all that in a bag of chips. Now, I'm not going to be here to say if he should have won MVP or not, because that's not the discussion here. The thing with me about Lamar is that he just doesn't, is just not able to do more with what he's got in the playoffs. And you could say that for the other two, that like Josh Allen per se, but that's one of the biggest reasons why he won MVP was that he did more with less. But before I get to that, Joe Burrow is my number two. I feel like that you could easily have him as number one, but it's kind of the same thing with what I just said about Lamar. Josh Allen was able to do more with less. Josh Allen's my number one. Adam, you can just throw up the graphic at this point. But he was just able to do more with less. And I'm about to pull up the depth chart that they had from last year. Never mind. It's not going to show up. But like Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins. They had Curtis Samuel at one point who didn't do really anything. They had Amari Cooper who didn't do anything. Like, yeah, they had names, but names of guys that didn't produce as well. And that's just the receiving core. Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid did very well as well. And they do have a very good running game with James Cook in the backfield. But when you compare it to some of these other teams that, like, say, Lamar Jackson has, I would take what Lamar Jackson has over what Josh Allen has, in my opinion. Joe Burrow, I don't know how much of the same statistics he's having with the Bills. And obviously, if you swap them, I think that Josh Allen could very well have the type of year that Joe Burrow has. It could go both ways, but that's just my opinion on it. And that's why I got Josh Allen as number one.
Yeah, I understand. I agree with your placement of Jalen Hurts, though.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I mean, got that. Well, at least we agree, you know, that like these are the top five QBs in the league. You can kind of just shuffle them any which way. And I do appreciate the Joe Burrow respect because, man, he's going to be wasted in Cincy. But, you know, sometimes you got to leave.
Yeah, like if Joe Burrow's defense wasn't so terrible, he was winning MVP. And that's the sad reality of it, because we've had this discussion many, many times. The team that has the best record, their quarterback's just going to win it at that point. Like, Joe Burrow obviously had much better stats than Josh Allen, but you can also attribute that to his top two receivers being top 20 guys in the league. Jamar Chase being top two and debatably not number two as well. Would you like to respond with anything, CJ, to anything on this list?
No,
anything that I have said about any of these top five guys?
Honestly, nah, I think I agree with your point. I mean, I agree that you got them all there, and I understand your reasoning, but, you know, we were far apart on Allen, I guess, but I don't know, man. Especially after last season, it didn't really do it for me.
I think the problem is that the Bills just rely too much on Allen. Like, that's what they have been doing all regular season, right? But, like, when it comes down to it, you do need more than just Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You do need more than what than your quarterback.
And I do disagree with what the Bills give him. They signed Khalil Shakir to that extension, and they just overpaid that Palmer dude from the Chargers. And I'm like, really? Really? Okay, whatever.
Yeah. No, I full-heartedly agree.
They literally gave him Stephon Diggs, traded him, and then just said, okay, well, that's all. It's like, well, that's all now.
Yeah. Like, get rid of Diggs. Figure it out, Josh. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is all the scheduled content that we have for today. I guess the only other bit of news is the Dallas Cowboys Netflix documentary that's going to be coming out at some point. Netflix just released the trailer for it.
I don't think I even have Netflix. I'll pass.
Yeah. I'll probably still watch it because, you know, the Cowboys do have a very rich history. Granted, they are the butt of the joke of the last 20 years, but prior to the 2000s, they were the cream of the crop. They were the part of the class of the NFL. So I'm very interested to see the history, like Roger Staubach, Pearson, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, guys like that. So that'll be fun.
Nah, I hear you. We should probably wrap up, though. We're over 50.
Yeah, I was kind of seeing if you were going to say something after that, but...
Nah, I don't know. I'm not a big documentary guy regardless, so...
Really?
No.
I feel like you would be.
Yeah, everyone thinks that, but no, I just... It's got to be something I'm really interested in, I guess.
I'm big on doc... I like documentaries, but... Especially sports documentaries. I love those. But that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out next Tuesday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and Leafs coverage on the NFL. And, well, coming up for next week, basically got done with all of our player rankings. So next week we're going to do our NFL team rankings. So that should be a fun show for you guys. Otherwise, from he's CJ Medeiros, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you next Tuesday for those team rankings. Over and out.